It's Friday!
Yay!
Oh, you can say that again.
Yay!
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much. It took a long time to get to Friday. It took longer to get to Friday than it did to go from May 1st to May 22nd. I don't know how that's possible.
This week's been a long month.
It has been. Well put. This week's been a long month. And boy, oh boy, lots of things have happened. There's no particular order. Kyle Busch dying at 41 is stunning, mind-blowing. We still don't know what happened.
Right.
We just don't know what happened.
And he was racing last week.
He won a truck race.
Right.
And in one of the interviews, she said, the woman interviewing him said, well, you know, you get excited, whatever. He goes, you never know when it's your last race.
Right. Very ominous.
Those ominous words will live on forever and be played over and over again. The other gut punch was out of nowhere to me, at least. I don't follow it maybe as carefully. Maybe the pundits knew, although I haven't had anybody step forward and say they knew that Mike Duggan was going to drop out of the run for governor.
I mean, Paul, even the people who are never surprised were surprised.
Yeah. Well, Nolan Findlay has a spectacular column about it. In fact, it's right on the front page, just under the fold. Poisonous partisanship is killing this state. Nolan captures this whole situation in Michigan and how we have done so poorly. And it's all about partisan politics. Nobody getting along and working together to get things done for us. It's all done for the party, which is putting us on a fast train to nowhere, or worse, disaster. So I don't. First of all, we're going to talk to Nolan as our first guest. Secondly, I'll say to you, as we head into this holiday weekend, I wish for you to remember with, you know, it's not easy. You're doing cookouts, you're having family. That's all beautiful. It's the unofficial start of summer, blah, blah, blah. But try to take a moment to remember what Memorial Day is all about. Let us remember and honor those who made the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom. And I always live up to, always ask the question, do we live up to the sacrifice that those, mostly men and some women, made over the last several wars to fight and give us this freedom and this life? Do we live up to that and their sacrifice? And the quick answer is no, we don't. We spend more time on social media and worthless circumstances and situations than we do on anything that might be, in fact, better for us and better for society. But that's another story. I wish you a meaningful Memorial Day. And take your patience along if you're flying or driving or doing anything, because it's going to be busy out there. And busy is a good thing, all things considered.
Yeah, and I think I saw MDOT is suspending, and they do this every year.
They do.
100 construction projects.
God bless them for that. And let's be careful in those construction areas. Because we have to. Happy birthday to you if it is your birthday today. I missed my friend Derek Hewlett's birthday. It was Wednesday. How did I miss it? I don't know. Derek of the great anniversary celebrating Sneffkamp Automotive family. And in the not too distant future, we're going to help Mark Sr. and Mark II or Mark Jr. celebrate their anniversary. They're the longest registered sales family, not wording this very well, but they've been representing Chrysler almost since before Chrysler was around.
Right.
But they've been representing Chrysler from the beginning.
And there's 100 years is over 100 years.
It's like 100 or something. Yeah, yeah, it's a long time.
Back when the only radio station you could get in those cars was WJR.
Yeah, those were the days, my friend. We thought they'd never end. But anyway, I wasted time. No, it's not a waste of time. And I'm not putting him down. I actually felt a little sorry for Stephen Colbert One of the reasons I felt sorry for him was this is it. This is the final show, and this is what you put together, which means Hollywood is going to love it. Hollywood, if you read a Hollywood review of Stephen Colbert's final show last night, you are not going to believe how great it was, and you can't imagine why it went off the air. If you're a regular, normal person, you're going to go, really? I mean, yeah, it's a big deal. He pretended the Pope was going to be there, and then the Pope said, you call this a Chicago hot dog? And threw it out of his dressing room and left. And then the big guest was Paul McCartney. And Paul McCartney's a great big guest, not because he's Paul McCartney. I mean, we've been seeing Paul a lot lately. He's been around a lot of places, so it's not like, oh, my God, there's Paul McCartney. But the key here is they were on the very stage the Beatles were on in 1964 on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Right.
That's the key that was not played up as big as it should have been.
Right, because I hadn't heard that, but I, you know, that does make sense. I believe it's called the Ed Sullivan Theater.
It is the Ed Sullivan Theater. It is the very stage where the Beatles were introduced in the biggest of ways to America on the Ed Sullivan Show. I think it was 1964.
And Elvis wasn't available, so.
Well, there was an Elvis joke.
Oh, it's there?
Yes. Mr. Colbert pointed out that Elvis had used the toilet backstage and did not die on Jeez. It. Thank you, Stephen. I'm sure there's a place for those jokes, and you'll find it, and someone will pay you millions of dollars.
Yeah, he'll get picked up by somebody.
Still bothers me that the guys like Letterman and Colbert and anybody else, they made millions of dollars. They should be nothing but thankful to the network that made them who they are today and gave them millions of dollars. Yet they destroyed furniture. They did things. Last night they played the Peanuts theme because somebody's starting to sue when people are using the music unauthorized. And then they did that and they went, well, I hope CBS doesn't have to pay a fine.
Right.
It's just, it's... You know, gratitude is what makes your life better. Ingratitude, therefore, I think, makes your life worse.
You know what also happened that would have never happened in the Letterman-Leno era? Was the solidarity between hosts.
Right.
Kimmel was on a rerun. Fallon was on a rerun. They
did it on purpose, and they appeared again on his show last night.
Right. You know, back in the day... Letterman and Leno.
I think it's funny when you go back in the day and you're only going Letterman, right. Leno, because I go back Carson.
Well, did Carson have any rivals in the late night era? I mean, he was the only game in town, wasn't he?
Yeah, until what's her name? The woman who.
Oh, Joan Rivers.
Joan Rivers tried to do a show.
Yeah.
And he never spoke to her again.
Right.
Because he helped her.
Right. And Letterman and Leno did not like each other. So they would have been tap dancing on each other's career graves.
Right. And I have to tell you, nobody likes it when someone comes in and gets to be a star based on filling in for someone. I can't tell you every time I filled in for Rush. I remember one specific time I was talking to Phil Boyce, who was our former program director at WJR. And when I got off, one of the Rush people, I don't know, it was a muckety-muck, said, who are you talking to? And I said, Phil Boyce. Well, he's not trying to get you to do a syndicated show, is he? I go, no, I'm not. I never used filling in for Paul Harvey, for God's sakes, or for Rush Limbaugh to try to get a bigger, better show. It's just, I just never thought that way.
Right.
And so when, let's face it, what's his name? He's been Fox's king for a long time, although Gutfeld is unseating everybody.
Jesse Waters, are you thinking?
No, above Jesse Waters. He used to be on our show, on our station. Gosh, that's terrible.
Hannity?
Sean Hannity.
Yeah.
Sean Hannity filled in and did a great job and worked hard to get his own show. And he did, and God bless him. He's been very successful, incredibly successful. He's making $20, $30, $40 million a year. No matter how you look at it, that's pretty successful. Well, you're on your way to making each and every day count because you know each day is a gift. So do I, but we need to be reminded. And I want to thank you for choosing to be a part of the best and brightest audience in all of radio. Don't just take it from me, but you can. But the Michigan Association of Broadcasters has deemed us once again the top radio station in the top markets. It's WJR, and you're a part of the family, so that award goes to you as well. We'll be doing our Relentless Positive Radio with Mike Parsons, Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski, and you, all right here on WJR. Well, Kevin Warsh, sworn in as the new Fed chair, I hope that he and the president get along for his entire term. Dow Watch, markets liking it. They're up 388.23, 389 right now. That's 50,682. That's not bad, again, to get past 50,000. We've done it before. We're doing it right now. Market up nearly 400 points. Again, I hope they get along for a long time. And the first way that Kevin can make sure he gets along with the president is he can lower interest rates. And that'll make all of us happy. Whether it's the right thing to do or not, it's going to make us happy. That's all I can say. Nolan Findlay always has his finger on the pulse. He's the editorial page editor for the Detroit News, coincidentally co-author of The Civility Book, A Guide to Building Bridges Across the Political Divide, Nolan and his friend Stephen Henderson with Lynn Goldner. And I am not embarrassed by even a little to say I was stunned and heartbroken when I heard Mike Duggan was pulling out of the race for governor for Michigan. How did you feel, Nolan?
Same, Paul. It was disappointing. I thought he was in it, you know, but he is also a very practical, pragmatic person. I think that's what was so attractive about him to so many people. He was not chasing a, you know, chaotic dream here. He thought he could win until, you know, all the indicators turned the other way in terms of this election.
And you wrote a great column that's on the front page of today's award-winning The Detroit News. Poisonous partisanship is killing this state. And what you felt, what I felt, what I think many people felt, and you've summed it up just now and then also brilliantly in your column, is Mike Duggan was all about possibility.
Yeah, I mean, he offered a hope to break through all of this. Right now we are in a situation we have been for many years in this state, decades, where a Republican comes into office or a Democrat comes into office, puts in an agenda, and as soon as they leave, the other party comes in and puts in a new agenda. We have to start all over again. And, you know, I think with him out of the race, that hope of trying to unite these two parties and solutions that work for Michigan is all but lost. What we saw during the first term of Gretchen Whitmer was Democrats, you know, going wild, undoing everything Snyder did. And then in the second term, we've had almost gridlock. You can't get anything meaningful done. So I think we're in a situation here where unless one of the remaining candidates embraces his ideals here, we're going to be just status quo and continue to make poor decisions.
Well, as you said, and I'll expand on your own writing, that this the possibility of ending our great state's relentless slide to the bottom in terms of economic and educational performance. And now what?
Well, that's it. I mean, you look at where we stand. And you're gonna hear Gretchen Whitmer standing up at Mackinac next week for her speech, telling us how much progress we made, how wonderful things are, and every indicator, every number tells us a different story. I think we all should be sitting in the audience with signs in our lap that says that's not true, because it's not true. We are not doing well, and you know we've had very, very little leadership over the last several years. So, yeah, we are in a bad place in Michigan. And unless we do drastic things, to change that, we're going to remain in a bad place. And Mike Duggan would have been a drastic change.
I believe that. You believe that. I still believe we were all, there's no question, we were all better off when he was one of the choices. I'm not telling people how they should or shouldn't vote. I'm just telling you, it was good for all of us when Mike Duggan was on the ballot. It gave us a real choice.
It did. And now what do we have? We're going to go back to partisan sniping at each other. Every Democratic idea will be shouted down by Republicans, and every Republican idea will be shouted down by Democrats. And, you know, in terms of putting real solutions that we can rally around on the table, I see very little chance of that.
It does cast a pall over what you and I and many others are going to be going up to this next week. As we head up to Mackinac for Sandy Baru Oz, Greater Detroit Regional Chamber Policy Conference. But it's still an important conference. There'll be lots to talk about, and hopefully one way or another we can affect change. That's, I guess, the best way to put it at this point.
I guess, and if we can't, Paul, let's me and you eat some fudge.
Let's eat fudge and drink bourbon. I will talk to you later. I'll look forward to seeing you there, all right?
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks so much. That's Nolan Findlay, of course, from the Detroit News. We continue in Focus on WJR. Well, it is still jarring, and we started our conversation, and we continue it like we did yesterday, that Mayor Duggan pulling out of the Michigan governor's race, the gubernatorial race. Ron Robinson, state representative, Republican from the 58th District, Utica, former news anchor and reporter here at WJR, is on the other end of my line right now. Ron, how are the halls of Lansing responding and reacting to the fact that Mike Duggan has decided not to run?
Well, it shook Lansing, that's to be sure. First off, thanks for having me on. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Paul W. But yeah, to answer your question, I'm still kind of stunned. I heard that little plug from Marie Osborne talking about the polling, and you know, I think he had a path. I don't know, you know, what the deal was, but you know, I'm out knocking doors in my district, and you know, there's a lot of moderates who looked at Duggan as a definite option. So I think there's a lot of shocked people today, to be sure.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. Now to talk a little bit about what you were scheduled to talk about, and I've also mentioned on this that Selfridge, which we thought was a done deal a long time ago with the president, and even our governor got in trouble for shaking his hand or hugging him or whatever by politicians who should not be allowed to continue to supposedly represent us because she was doing what she had to do to help Michigan, which is what we would want a governor to do. But that aside, now there's another story here that says once signed into law, the Michigan legislature's approval of $152 million for a runway project at Selfridge Air National Guard Base is expected to unlock $792 million in federal military construction funding for Macomb County. Now, this reminds me of the email I get every so often that says, I'm so glad I found you. If you send me $10,000, I can send you $50 million from your late uncle who was a prince in Uganda.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, there's a lot of layers to this. And, I think President Trump announced this in his first 100 days. But, you know, it was going well for a while. But Michigan got wind that there was some generals that maybe didn't want this fighter mission to come to Selfridge and thought they were going to wait Trump's presidency out. And so Governor Whitmer and Speaker Hall went to President Trump and said, hey, can we expedite this? And so the deal we came out with is the state was going to be responsible for funding the $152 million to create the runways for these F-15s. And then the state would come behind us and pick up the heavy lifting for, you know, the total other infrastructure to accommodate the actual planes and of course the housing for the people that are going to be stationed here to do these exercises with these amazing state of the art fighting jets.
And it is, frankly, Ron Robinson, as you would say too, it is a major milestone for securing the future of Selfridge finally. And that future had been uncertain for years due to the Air Force's planned retirement of the base's core mission of housing A-10 fighter jets, Warthogs. But I want to go back to something you said, and that is there were a couple of generals who were against giving this to Michigan. I'd like to know who they were.
I couldn't get I'd like to know who they were, too. But when we heard those rumors, I think Governor Whitmer and Speaker Hall took action, and they just wanted to make sure that this was happening. Because you mentioned about Selfridge being in trouble over the years. I mean, every chance I get, you know, I got to give props to people like Candace Miller and Anthony Forlini and Gary Peters, who have been, you know, bulldogs on making sure Selfridge continues to exist with all the thousands of jobs and all the, you know, the impact that it has economically here in Southeast Michigan. So it was a long time coming to get to this point, but this move definitely assures that Selfridge will be severely relevant.
Not only for the economy, severely relevant.
Yes. Well, if we're getting catchphrases, I'd like to rename Selfridge the Miramar of the Midwest. If you can help me coin that phrase, that would be great.
Okay. We'll see what we can do. And the governor actually said, quote, a huge bipartisan win for Michigan. We don't hear that a lot. Huge bipartisan win for Michigan. But, boy, that's the truth, and we could use some more of those.
And, you know, I want to take this opportunity because, you know, there was some political games going on, and I know Senator Hertel got a lot of heat, and I even put out a press release kind of why are they dragging their feet. But after the vote yesterday, I think Kevin Hertel deserves some credit as well, so I want to throw that out to him.
Well, what changed?
I don't know. Well, I don't know. I think he had some work to do convincing some of his fellow Senate Democrats that this was a good idea. But we're here. And I'm not going to chew on yesterday's breakfast. I'm just going to look forward to a future with Selfridge.
Man, you're full of them. You can tell you were in radio. I'm not going to chew on yesterday's breakfast either. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't have breakfast yesterday either. Ron Robinson, thank you. I hope you have a meaningful Memorial Day.
You as well, sir. Thank you for your time.
Ron Robinson, State Representative, Republican 58th District, Utica. Former news anchor and reporter right here at WJR. And yes, my flag is flying, but I don't get any extra points because my flag is flying every day, 24 hours a day. But I hope you'll bring out your flag if you don't fly it regularly and have it out there for this very important holiday. It is 12:43 at WJR. Well, fascinating times, that's for sure, in Lansing and in Washington. We're going to talk all about them when we're up at Grand Hotel, and we'll be in our very special position in the parlor of Grand Hotel for, it's got to be 30 of these things we've been up there for Sandy Baru Oz, Greater Detroit Regional Chamber Policy Conference. The morning show will be there, JR Mornings, and we will be there as well in focus on Wednesday and Thursday. Very special programming. A lot going on up there. Of course, there'll be a lot of conversation about Mayor Duggan pulling out of the race after the chamber actually gave the thumbs up for him. They were basically endorsing him some time ago. So that's going to be a big topic, but there have got to be other topics because they're important things. Life goes on no matter what, and we're going to be hearing about them. One of the things we can talk about but won't matter too much is something that Jared Halpern is covering for us. Jared, of course, Fox News correspondent extraordinaire and WJR contributor, and that is Congress has actually left town without taking votes over the opposition to President Trump's lawfare fund, you know, the $1.8 billion piggy bank, I guess. Jared, yeah. Always a pleasure.
Well, you know, the question is whether or not Congress can vote on that. The Justice Department argues that this is money that has kind of in perpetuity been authorized for the Justice Department to make settlements. But this fund, this $1.8 billion anti-weaponization fund, has generated as much Republican pushback of this president as we have seen in his second term. This seems to be a boiling point. And what happened yesterday was extraordinary. Republicans in the Senate were expected to vote on that reconciliation bill that deals with funding Border Patrol, ICE, finally ending that part of the shutdown. They are doing it through a budget process that requires only a simple majority. But the issue is that process also allows an open-ended amendment process. And Democrats were going to put forward an awful lot of amendments related to this fund and what sort of safeguards or guardrails ought to be imposed. They were going to have amendments that basically made Republican senators vote on whether or not those convicted on January 6th should be eligible. Those convicted of assaulting police officers should be eligible. A whole host of questions were going to be raised, and these were going to be really hard votes for Republicans to take in an election year when an awful lot of these Republicans don't support this fund and have been pushing back on it and want more congressional oversight. And because of that, Congress left town, both the House and the Senate, without voting on that reconciliation bill that they had sort of wanted to get done on the president's deadline of June 1st.
When in doubt, ghost, disappear.
Well, I think it's the saying in Washington is when you have the votes, you vote. And so this is a clear indication that Republicans, even with their not needing Democratic buy-in, right, this is a reconciliation. Just think that a simple Republican majority didn't have a vote. And when you don't have the votes, you don't vote. And when it's up against Memorial Day and an election year, you don't anger folks more by keeping them in town.
You know, I can see reasons for the president having the concerns he has, especially those, let's face it, after the midterms or even after he's out of office or whenever it is, the Democrats are then going to waste all their time trying to throw him in jail and cause all kinds of trouble. I mean, that's just, they can't help themselves. That's
well,
what they're going
to. I mean, we don't know if Republicans are going to win back that, Democrats are going to win back the House or Senate.
No, I know. But like I said, it's either at the midterms or at the end of his term. There are Democrats that are sworn to bringing him down. And they can't apparently beat him with ideas of their own. So they go after him and his ideas. My only point is, I can understand him wanting to protect himself and his family because, well, look at Joe Biden did it. Joe Biden.
Well, certainly that's separate, right? There doesn't seem to be, I mean, Republicans may not like it. They're not going to vote on this. I mean, that's a separate part of the settlement, right? That the IRS is not going to continue with these ongoing audits of current and previous tax filings from the president and his family. That's one thing. The bigger issue, especially for Republicans, is this $1.8 billion anti-weaponization fund that has not been, at least according to senators, clearly explained by the administration on how they want to use it, what the oversight will be, how much is going to be given to individuals in the case that they win. And remember that, too, that you know the number one issue right now for voters is cost of living. And Republicans are facing a lot of headwinds with the economy. And there is a sense, at least from some Republicans who have spoken out on this, that they don't want to be seen as supporting this kind of $1.8 billion fund or the billion-dollar fund for the ballroom when they are hearing from constituents that gas prices are too high, that food prices are too high, and the like.
Well, it's it is a question. Eventually, maybe, I don't know, maybe not, the American people will somehow get their point across that we're tired of going over old stories over and over and over again. I mean, the best example I can see right now is, seriously, we needed a Democrat autopsy on why Kamala Harris lost? We needed an now, today? They
well,
need a
they
study.
Did, they,
she was
no.
She was backed
was
by
the,
a comat. Wait, let me finish. She was backed by a comatose president, whose frailties were covered up by her and many others, and she wasn't a capable candidate. So, what do they need to? What are they doing in a quote unquote autopsy? They know what killed it.
A couple of things. One, the DNC did not authorize that report. They didn't want to release it. They were unsatisfied with the results. They said that it was incomplete, that it didn't include information that was relevant. The DNC chairman tried to kind of throw it away. He faced a lot of backlash, and so they released yesterday, about a year and a half after it had been done, what this report was. And certainly that is raising more criticism of the DNC chair.
Jared, I appreciate that. We've got to go. Clock stops for no one. Hour number two on this Friday, the 22nd of May, heading into an extended holiday weekend, Memorial Day 2026, as we will, I hope, remember and honor those who made the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom. I wish you a meaningful Memorial Day, and lucky you if you're getting away today, getting an early start, if you will. At 3 o'clock on Memorial Day, I hope maybe that you can remember there actually is the National Moments of Remembrance at 3 p.m., and we're all asked to pause for 1 minute to remember those who have died in military service for our great country. That's 1 minute. That's all. Amongst the sales and the cookouts and all the rest of it, travel, that's all good. But let's not lose sight of what the day really is all about and why you have the day off and those people who died so you could have the freedom that you and I live with. It is Friday. We've got the team. Mike Parsons, executive producer, Danielle Mason, queen of the switches, Rich Luzinski, keeping track of our WJR traffic and weather. And it'll get busy at the end of the program. So I always give thanks to everyone I can that are people you're aware of that are very instrumental in helping us do the show, which today, of course, Dave Rieger. Rieger reviews it. Dave has helped out in producing when Mike has to be off. Marie Osborne, who's always in with interesting stories and also filling in a lot on various shows. Ann Thomas, our fearless leader, who led us to the Michigan Association of Broadcasters, number one station in a major market, again, WJR. And Mike Kim, and she does, I don't just say that, but she helps. She's really, truly what would be called an associate producer if it were a paid position, but it is not. But Kim Smith, who does such a great job helping us with our relentless positive radio. While you're on your way to making each and every day count, because each day is a gift, and we all know that. We need to be reminded. Don't like to think of the QTR. None of us know how much quality time remaining we have. And by the way, thanks for choosing to be an important part of the best and brightest audience in all of radio, too. Watched the Stephen Colbert final. Hollywood will love it. It was not that great, I'm afraid, and it might have explained why they're going off the air and we're losing money. I don't know. We've got a new Fed chair sworn in, Kevin Warsh. Are they doing drinking games or side bets on when he will lower interest rates to get the president to love him? Do you know?
Yeah, I have a feeling if he doesn't lower them the first chance he gets, he's gonna
be in the doghouse.
Yeah, they're gonna be off on the wrong foot there.
He and Trudy will be sharing accommodations. Your lovely sweet puppy. Today is National Craft Distillery Day.
Oh,
I know about distilling beer.
Yeah,
but are people making hard liquor at home now?
That
seems like it would be, no pun intended, hard to do.
Right. Craft distillery. Yeah, maybe it's like the small batch commercial distilleries. I don't know. But that's kind of interesting that today is Small Craft Distillery Day because it's also Gout Awareness Day.
Oh, really? Yeah. I missed that. And I don't miss gout.
No, you and I have both of our joints have been touched by gout, Paul.
Yeah, I'm still taking
allopurinol, me too.
Yeah.
Or also it'll come back.
And if you ever get a doctor who says, I don't think you need that anymore, say, no, I'm okay. I'm going to stay on it. That's
right.
Just a little word to the wise.
Because it takes 2 years for the gout crystals to dissolve. So,
well, I didn't know that, but I can tell you it will come back. And
right.
It is one of the most painful things ever.
Right.
National Vanilla Pudding Day. Now, I'm a vanilla guy. I like really good vanilla ice cream. I like butter pecan ice cream, which is vanilla with butter pecan. But I like vanilla. I like vanilla milkshakes. I don't get them very often, but I do. And I suspect I would like vanilla pudding. Does that make me a real vanilla guy?
Well, you're a man of taste and sophistication. You can you can enjoy vanilla pudding the way you could enjoy chocolate pudding, I'm sure.
That's true. And dark chocolate is so good for you. Don't get me started. 2 cups a day of dark hot chocolate or dark chocolate in your coffee is going to change your life.
It's good for stem cells.
2 cups a day. That's you. You've been listening, my grasshopper. And it is National Maritime Day, which makes it perfect for our friend Ryan Ermani, who is broadcasting out at Hook. And they'll be getting ready for happy hour, which becomes a happy weekend on a long weekend like this. Be careful. You're not supposed to drink and drive when you're driving a boat either. But be that as it may, a lot of boaters will join him, I'm sure, at Hook today on National Maritime Day. And Ryan Ermani is getting set up there right now for a great show. Here is more news on a story that shocked us all. Of course, Mike Duggan pulling out was a shocking story, but this was a life and death story. The NASCAR star, Kyle Busch. And the Free Press has a story coming through right now saying, it's not pretty, but Kyle Busch was coughing up blood when emergency responders were called to a General Motors facility in Concord, North Carolina, the day before the two-time NASCAR Cup Series champion died. This according to a 911 call obtained by USA Today. In the call, a man tells a dispatcher that Busch was on the bathroom floor, awake but in distress. He said Busch was coughing up blood, short of breath, and very hot. Interestingly, the caller asked the emergency responders to turn off their sirens on arrival. Quote, I've got an individual that's experiencing shortness of breath, very hot, and he thinks he's going to pass out, and he's producing a little bit of blood, coughing up some blood, the caller told the dispatcher. The caller identified the location as the General Motors Charlotte Technical Center off Speedway Boulevard in Concord, describing it as being next to Hendrick Motorsports.
Jeez, so, oh, Pete's what? Yeah, just, what?
We what don't did he know have? What happened or what he had, but he was stricken, and he was getting some terrible signals.
Yeah, I know. I think they said 11 days before he passed, he was racing, and he had to pull off. He said that he needed to get some kind of shot, and he said that he was dealing with the cough and some sinus issues.
I had not heard that he had pulled off the track on that. I know that at one of the races, he radioed in and said, when I finish, can you get the track doctor for me?
Yeah. So maybe it was something that just progressed. His body couldn't fight it off. I don't know, because I think all of us, when we have a sinus thing or a cough or something, we figure, okay, well, this will go away in a little bit on its own, but maybe – obviously, it was something more serious.
On to some other stories. They tease us once again. What's the story behind the Detroit news story? U.S. lawmakers propose making daylight saving time permanent again.
I don't know, but I know we talk about it all the time.
Every year.
It seems like everyone has passed it, just not in the order it needs to be passed to become a law.
I don't get it. They're so afraid of backlash from the people who want standard time or daylight saving time, and so they won't make a decision. Imagine on something as simple as this compared to the important stuff they're supposed to be doing every day that they avoid by fighting with each other.
Right.
Doesn't make
and how many how many
sense.
Committees have been formed and how many committee meetings have been run on this very issue that we've gotten nowhere on?
I don't know. Well, I see Fox now is releasing the 911 audio, the call I just told everybody about. Now they actually have the audio. They're releasing it. Oh, boy. Okay. Relentless positive radio. That's what we're going to do our best to do in this second hour. But by the way, the next time we talk to you, actually, good Lord willing, is going to be from our place of honor, the parlor of the Great Grand Hotel, Wednesday and Thursday, at Sandy Baru Oz Greater Detroit Regional Chamber Policy Conference. So I hope you'll be tuned in for that. Careful on the drive or the flight or whatever you're doing. Take along your patience and have a meaningful Memorial Day and a great time. 114 WJR. Well, this is happening very quickly. I don't even have it being sent to me by the various news sources online. Just announced that the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, has just resigned. I have no details whatsoever. If we get them between now and 2 o'clock, we'll pass them along. But that's the word. Tulsi Gabbard, Director of National Intelligence, has resigned. And I presume that is taking immediate place. I don't think she's resigning at the end of next month or the month after. She's done now. Have you heard anything else, Mike?
No, all I saw was the blurb that came across TV. So
yeah, me too.
I'll see if I can find anything before the show ends here.
Yeah, we'll
but
try.
It seems like any time someone from Trump's cabinet has a hearing in front of Congress or Senate, they either are let go or they resign.
Well, that's interesting. You think, is that in play here? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, she has testified a number of times. Or maybe it's just all of the members of his cabinet. So maybe it's just a coincidence. But
it's crazy that it is not on my, I'm looking again at my my rundown of breaking stories, so to speak. And it has not yet made the wire services. I wonder where they got it on,
Fox News has it. The New York Post has it. Axios has it. So it's slowly trickling in.
Yeah. Okay. We will we'll get into that as we get more information.
It says citing husband's cancer diagnosis. So maybe this sounds like a personal decision.
Yeah, Marie just sent me something. I'll look at here in a minute after I introduce her. A newborn surrendered under Michigan's Safe Delivery Act. Supposed to mean safety, compassion, and a second chance, but for one Michigan father, it actually became a battle for his child. I'm not at all familiar with this story, but WJR's Marie Osborne is and has more on the case. Marie.
This is local attorney Neil Rockhine brought us this story. He represented the birth father in this case. A young mother legally surrendered her infant. The biological father was notified. That's what's supposed to happen. And he said he was ready to raise his own baby. He took a DNA test. He proved his paternity. But under Michigan's safe delivery statute, that was not enough. The adoption agency had placed the child with an adoptive family, and he had to go to court.
He then has to go to court, and he has to fight, which he did, in a trial court to prove that he's a fit parent. And the adoption agency is the opponent. And all the while, the baby is with the adoptive parents, and my heart breaks for them because they're getting close to this baby. They're loving and connecting and identifying with the baby.
And after trial and several other legal actions, the father did prevail, but the process was grueling for that father.
Do I think that it's important to know whether has a prior criminal history? Whether he has a drug addiction, whether he's houseless or homeless, whether he's been convicted of child abuse or on a child abuse registry, is he a sex offender? Of course those are important questions to ask, and those are the questions that should be asked. But to make him go to court and have to subject himself to analysis about how are his finances, how is his job, is he in a relation? Let me look at your social media and you know, see what you post on social media.
Now, Rockhine says the Michigan Safe Delivery Law was created to prevent tragedy, infants abandoned in unsafe places. But hidden in this statute, he says, is the reality that when a father steps forward, he literally has to audition for his own child.
That's ridiculous.
But there's the other side of the story here, Paul. Jennifer Schwartz is with Adoption Partners of Michigan, and she explains that the safe delivery law is very unique in its legal requirements, and at its core, it's designed to prevent harm to children. In other words, it's very different than any other kind of adoption.
When a parent comes forward in a safe delivery case asking for custody of their child, just because you have a DNA test alone doesn't thereby grant custody. It thereby grants that individual the opportunity to have their day in court and to be heard by the judge. But the judge then has to decide, who is this person? We don't know who this person is and what is in the best interest of this child.
And Paul Rockhine says he'd like to see some changes in this law, starting with a clear definition of what fitness means. In other words, he'd like to see in the future that biological fathers who step forward in cases like this don't have to go through that kind of court proceeding that his client had to go through. I also want to mention the identities of all the parties involved in this case have been kept confidential, and the biological father does now have custody of this child.
Well, look, I'm sorry. You may disagree with me, and we don't have time to go into it, but fathers often get the raw deal here. I agree with Neil Rockhine. He's a brilliant guy, not just because we agree with each other, but fathers should not be automatically put through these kinds of hoops. I am not suggesting for a second that a child go to a father that should not have the child, but I'm also suggesting that a father should not be immediately suspect to be a bad guy or not worthy of his own child. But there's a lot longer story here, so I appreciate you bringing this to our attention. I had not been following the story at all. And I appreciate you sent me the Tulsi Gabbard story.
Yeah.
And it is, as Mike alluded to, her husband, she wants to support her husband through his battle with an extremely rare form of bone cancer. Mm-hmm. So sad. And I stand corrected. She notified the president after a meeting in the Oval Office Friday, and her last day is not today. It is expected to be June 30th. So she did give notice, if you will, mm-hmm. and who can blame her? I salute her for sadly having to submit her resignation and to be with her husband, Abraham, which is just a horrible story all the way around, and our heart goes out to Gabbard. It's to Tulsi Gabbard. It's just a bad thing. Marie, I hope for you a good holiday, a meaningful Memorial Day for you and John and the family.
We will indeed be honoring it, that's for sure. Thank you, Paul. You too.
Thank you, Marie. Marie Osborne, WJR's Director of Community Affairs and News. Dave Rieger finally has a good new job. Some might say great new job. Rieger reviews it coming up next on WJR. Well, it is time for Rieger Reviews It, sponsored by Wigley's Famous Eastern Market Corned Beef. Dine in or carry out the best Wigley's corned beef sandwiches around at Frank's Deli and Grill. What a great family. Right there, Frank's Deli and Grill at 3405 Russell Street in Detroit's Eastern Market. They're open every day from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. You still have time to get out there and get some food. And while you're there, be sure to say hi to Victor, the owner, and his kids. He loves his customers as much as the corned beef. Frank's Deli and Grill, 3405 Russell Street, Detroit's Eastern Market. The award-winning Mr. David Rieger. Hello,
hey,
David.
Paul W.
Nice to have you on board with a couple of movies I'm very interested in. Let's start with the new Star Wars.
Yeah, this is The Mandalorian and Grogu. This takes place, you know, it's been like just a little over 3 years since the last Mandalorian season on Disney Plus, and now they're on the big screen, and they are our good friend Mando and Grogu, Baby Yoda. They're enlisted by the New Republic leader, Colonel Ward, played by Sigourney Weaver, to track down some Imperial fugitives. The leader on the deck of cards, as they say in the movie, Commander Coin. The issue, though, is to find Commander Coin, they must strike a deal with the Hutt crime cartel, and here's their task. Are you ready for this? You remember Jabba the Hutt from Return
yes.
of the Jedi?
Yes.
Jabba has a son, Rota the Hutt, and they have to go and they have to go and save Rota the Hutt as part of to get the information to find Commander Coin.
If your name is Jabba, what the heck can you name a son anyway? Thank goodness he didn't have a daughter. All right, well, let's listen to Star Wars, The Mandalorian and Grogu in theaters starting now.
Hey, never touch the buttons. I can can use some information.
Whoa, for this price, I'll tell you whatever you want.
I'm looking for a hut.
Close for the night. Thank you.
Gangsters, war criminals.
Long live the Empire.
We'll take out every bad guy in your deck of cards.
Well, I hope this is a good one.
It was good. Yeah, it's a kind of a standalone by itself. I would have liked to have maybe had them run into some of the more familiar characters that we like from the Star Wars universe. But I think fans will like it. I mean, listen, it's Star Wars. So anything Star Wars is going to be really popular, as you know.
Here's hoping. So what are we giving it? How many of
give,
those?
I'm going to give it 3 Wigglies. I thought it was well done, and I think people will like it. And it's kind of a feel good Star Wars type movie.
Good. Go out there and get some real buttered popcorn and enjoy yourself. The Mandalorian. Definitely. And Grogu in theaters, like my favorite, Imagine. And it's underway right now. Now, the next movie I'm going to like, no matter what you say or how it turns out, because I love John Krasinski. I just love him. I like him as a person and as an actor. And it's Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan, Ghost War, on Amazon Prime. Let's listen.
So you leave the CIA, you get yourself a nice civilian job.
Are you kidding me?
It's good to see you.
Whatever it is, I'm not doing it.
I just need you to meet a guy.
No. God, I missed this.
Missed what?
Being out in the field.
Don't look directly at me.
Sorry.
Might as well just touch your earpiece.
Your friend sent you because he's scared. He's right to be.
I don't know. I think they could have done a better job on that little trailer.
Listen, I think it tells pretty much the story. Our good buddy, John Krasinski, Jack Ryan, he's left the CIA. He's now got a civilian job working Wall Street as a risk management executive. His buddy, James Greer, corners Jack for a routine courier mission to Dubai. Like everybody, every civilian just has to go to Dubai for a routine mission, right?
Right.
To collect information from a contact, Nigel Cook. Obviously, the handoff goes sideways. Nigel Cook gets assassinated right in front of him by a mysterious terrorist organization, of course. That is a post 9/11 black ops organization called Starling. And there you go. So what they did with this is, instead of making a season 5, they decided to just condense everything, what would be a season long, into like a movie. So there you go. I mean, it has everything that you expect from a Jack Ryan story. Very well done. Jack Krasinski has played that role very well. I think people will enjoy it. I personally kind of like the series where you can kind of watch it an hour at a time, but they just kind of condensed it into one movie, much like with The Mandalorian and Grogu.
Well, I'm going to watch it.
I think you'll like it.
I do like, I got to tell you the truth, I like that we're going to be able to see a beginning, a middle, and an end in one sitting.
Okay.
Because it's so hard. I know what you're talking about in the series.
Yeah.
And I love the series, but I always fall off, and I never remember where I was, and I never get back to it. So this just makes it easier, frankly.
So that makes sense if you like to just watch it in like a hour and a half, 2 hours, however long it's going to run. And yeah, and of course, a lot of action, a lot of spy stuff, can't trust anybody, cloak dagger, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, John Krasinski does a great job in this role.
He does. You would have never thought that he would go from The Office, the character he played in The Office, to this type of character.
Just
but he makes it work.
Yeah, just shows how talented he is. And the fact that he could marry the woman that he married shows how talented he is, or very lucky, one way or another. I assume you're at Hook right now.
I am at Hook. I am at the Hook restaurant right now, and Ryan Armani is about to start his broadcast after your show.
Have you noticed if he's taped his ankles, girded his loins?
I have not seen him yet. He has not walked in. But I will tell you, very interesting. It's my second time here, but I always find it interesting to, like, you're driving out, like, into Lake St. Clair.
This, right, right.
This restaurant is out there. So yeah.
It's a great restaurant, and it's only going to get better. Maintaining the same ownership, but as we announced the other day, Joe Vicari is going to come in and manage it, and he does a great job. So we'll be interested in that. In St. Clair Shores, they're getting ready for a busy happy hour. And if I forget to tell Ryan when I talk to him, if I get to talk to him in a handoff, it is National Maritime Day, and you're right there on the water. Couldn't be any better place to be.
Yeah, a lot of boats out here. Yeah.
All right. Well, yes, congratulations on, again, getting a great new job. Dave Rieger, and Rieger reviews it here with Paul W. Smith on WJR at 142. You just heard, again, a promo mentioning Cynthia and Edsel Ford. They are so very philanthropic. God bless them for all that they do. For that matter, following through in the Ford family of philanthropy, all of the Fords I know or that we deal with or hear about are very philanthropic. God bless them. A couple of quick things here. You know, I'm always trying to find a good way to sleep, Mike, and I've tried everything. Last night, I actually went to bed in full body armor.
What?
Yeah, yeah. I was trying to get a good night's sleep.
Oh, you got that email today. I forgot it's Friday.
I got the Lynn Etzinger email. Thank you, Lynn.
That's right. I wasn't ready for you. You got me there.
Yeah. Well, here we go. We've got the WJR Tim McGraw VIP experience, your chance to rock when country music legend Tim McGraw brings his Pawn Show Guitar Tour to Pine Knob Music Theater August 28th. You could win a pair of premium pavilion tickets, transportation courtesy of the great Metro Cars, and $100 to the fabulous Buddy's Pizza. To enter, download the free WJR mobile app. Free WJR mobile app. Download it, find the secret keyword, then text it to 800-859-0957. You get all the information you need, because you can't write it all down now, but it's all at WJR.com. WJR.com. All right, you sent me, I don't know, a couple days ago, an interesting story, and we have not had time to get into it, so I'll do it right now, because I don't know if Ryan Armani is ready to chat or not from Hook, but we'll talk to him when we can. But so this was put together by a guy named Derek Hutchinson, digital executive producer for Click on Detroit. And there's a new study that has revealed the 10 words that are most commonly misspelled in our great state of Michigan.
Yes, and I worked very hard to not look at this so that I would not contaminate the results.
Well, I have looked at it, so I have contaminated the results on my end, but I'm not going to try to guess, but I'm going to put you guys on the line, you guys being Danielle Mason, Mike Parsons, and even Rich Luzinski, if he's weighing in or somewhere close to a microphone. But I got to tell you the truth. This says Michigan's list of most misspelled words has some shockers.
Oh.
And I'm going to tell you the truth. I can't believe that some of these words are actually misspelled. I mean, I'm not a good speller. It's why I went into radio. I'm a talker. I never had to spell these words. So it just surprises me. But here we go. And you can go whenever you feel like you want to. The first word that is most commonly misspelled in this great state of Michigan is which.
Could you use it in a sentence? Because there's a few different ways to say which.
Yeah, and I was thinking of that at the moment and couldn't quickly think of a sentence. I believe in the rules of life which are spelled out. Some call it the Ten Commandments.
W-H-I-C-H.
And Danielle?
Yeah.
You agree?
Yeah, yeah, I was mouthing it with him.
Yeah.
Oh, W-H-I-C-H. I'm sorry. I'll watch your mouth. Watch your mouth, Danielle. W-H-I-C-H is correct. I would not have guessed that people get that wrong.
No,
I mean,
I've
never gotten a sentence where this witch was replaced by the W-I-T-C-H,
right,
or any other witch.
The wicked witch, yeah. Yeah.
There's another one that I'm surprised with. Different.
Different. Danielle, you want to take first crack at it?
D-I-F-F-E-R-E-N-T.
I concur.
I either have a brilliant team or they're kind of way off base on these
Right.
These words, different is correct, the way you spelled it, D-I-F-F-E-R-E-N-T. Because? How can because be a word?
These are easy.
What would be easy? What would you, how would you misspell because?
Maybe B-E-C-U-Z. Maybe that's how people do it. I don't know.
I hope not.
That's ghetto.
You know what word I always have to be careful spelling is Wednesday. Wednesday. There's that N in there that trips you up.
The D.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wednesday. Yeah.
It's not the N. We all say Wednesday, but Wednesday. There's a D in there.
Yeah.
Wednesday.
Wednesday, yes.
All right, well, that's not on here. Through? Now, see, that can be spelled two different ways as far as I know.
Right, like I'm going through it or I threw the football.
Well, then there are three different ways.
Yeah.
I think of T-H-R-U.
Oh, drive-through, yeah.
I think of the one they have here, and I think of throwing the ball, T-H-R-E-W. So what's the one they have here?
T-H-R-O-U-G-H, maybe the G-H trips people up. But, yeah, these are like elementary, middle school spelling words.
I think, where did this come from? Unscrambler.com?
Yeah.
I think this is like clickbait.
Right.
This is not something Kim sent me. This is just,
well,
I think.
And you know what I thought it was going to be? I thought it was going to be like, how do you spell Charlevoix? How do you spell Mackinac?
Yeah.
You know, because, that type of stuff.
People can understand that. Or Lazer.
Right.
Because they call it Lazer.
Right. And obviously, Paul, I couldn't vet it because I didn't want to look at the words because
I don't blame you. Yeah. How about this next word? Color?
How else would you spell it?
I don't know.
Maybe the Canadian way because... Color?
Well, then it's not incorrect. C-O-L-O-U-R is not incorrect.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Unless people just got so bad at spelling because of spell check, I don't know. But these are pretty simple words.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not going to continue.
Yeah.
How do you spell Guernsey?
G-U-R-N-S-E-Y.
There you go.
Oh, really?
I love Guernsey.
I thought there was a silent E. I would have got that wrong. I would have guessed G-U-E-R.
I always wanted to do commercials for Guernsey so I could get free ice cream. Anyway, there's business, schedule. If I say it like that, you know how to spell it. Mm-hmm. College and experience. I'm not going any further with this.
Yeah. No, these were easy. Yeah. I thought I was going to file this. Yeah. Like, I thought it was going to ask me how to spell Sheboygan.
And a cheeseburger in Sheboygan. All of that. Yeah, all of that. Okay. You guys make sourdough? Anybody?
No, but I watch a lot of videos of people making sourdough.
Sweden is famous for its unique sourdough hotels where professional bakers feed, maintain, and babysit your precious starter while you travel. Because sourdough requires regular feedings, these specialized services make sure that your yeast stays healthy and active until you return. RC Chocolate is a 24/7 sourdough hotel where travelers can conveniently drop off and pick up their starters right at the airport. It's about $12 per week. That is just so bizarre.
Danielle looks shocked right now. She can't believe it.
Here's the other question. When you go pick up your sourdough? How do you know it's really your sourdough?
Right.
See, that's my problem right away.
Well, you ask the sourdough what the safe word is. That's how you know.
Yes, indeed. Have you seen that elderly comedian online? I only see him on Instagram because I do Paul W. Smitsta. That's all I ever look at. Some things pop up that are not on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And he's an elderly guy, and he's like in his 80s or 90s, and he said, I finally got hearing aids so I can hear the safe word.
Wow.
He's a very funny guy.
Yeah.
He says, if you want to follow me on social media, go to the cork board in Kroger. Right. So anyway, he's a funny guy. Is our other funny guy, Ryan Armani, around?
He is, Paul. He is.
Live from Hook in St. Clair Shores, getting ready for a busy happy hour. And it's National Maritime Day. I thought I'd throw you that bone.
Well, it is National Buffet Day as well because they set us up real nice over here with a beautiful buffet. And, Paul W., if you are in the area, come on out,
hey,
buddy.
We were there from noon to 2. Mike, we almost had to beg, borrow, and steal food. They set him up with a buffet from 2 o'clock. I don't even want to talk about it. We got to run. Next time with you, good Lord willing, will be from our place of honor, the parlor of the Great Grand Hotel, Wednesday and Thursday at Sandy Berruha's Greater Detroit Regional Chamber Policy Conference. As I thank the team, Mike Parsons, Daniel Mason, Rich Luzinski, Dave Rieger, Marie Osborne, Ann Thomas, Mike Kim, Kim Smith, associate producer, and especially you for being the best and brightest audience in all of radio and choosing to be with us. Have a meaningful Memorial Day. Talk to you hopefully Wednesday. Regards, Paul W. Smith.